That's the trap of sin. It just looks good. And then, you know, it's like eating, you know, if you're dieting, or if you're on a budget, like, man, a new pair of shoes feels good. But then if you blew your budget over it,
and the credit card
that
bill
always
comes
around. And you're like, man, I wore them outside. I can't take them back now.
But there's that sense it wasn't worth it.
No pun intended, but the other shoe does drop.
Yeah.
And it's not worth it. So all of these things swirl around the concept that we're talking about. All the actions that I do, all the words that I say, start as a thought.
Welcome to the Study with Friends radio program, an outreach of studywithfriends.org. Study with Friends is a Bible study community created to deepen your relationship with God. If you miss any part of this program, or if you want to hear it again, you can download the podcast on iTunes or listen online at studywithfriends.org, where you'll also find listening guides and worksheets you can download to follow along. And sometimes bonus material we don't have time to air on the broadcast. That's studywithfriends.org. Today we continue a series called Captive, focusing on 2 Corinthians 10, 4 and 5. And we're talking about the root nature of our thoughts. All the actions I do, all the words I say, start as a thought. But take comfort, you have the power to manage your thought life. Let God's word teach you how.
Last night I was in a situation and I had a thought, an evil thought, and for a second I played with it, and then I thought, nope, I'm not going there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Tell me more about that. When you said for a second I played with it. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, I had a moment of jealousy and envy someone else's life.
Okay.
You know, I was at a coach bingo. There was a girl sitting across from me, and she had this big rock on her finger, and her husband had this, like, all this money coming in. She has two kids and all this and that. And apparently he sent her flowers to her work. Yeah, I'm not going to say any names, but for a second I thought, gee, like, I mean, I love my husband. We have a great relationship, but, you know, he doesn't send me flowers.
That's exactly what I was saying when we were talking about romance.
Yes, yeah. I know, when you were saying that earlier.
Comparison to what I have.
Yeah, I'm like, how? And then I'm thinking, and I could tell this woman was not a Christian woman, just the way she was talking and behaving and everything. And for a second I was like, how come she has things that I want? So ridiculous of a thought.
Material.
And then I'm like, no. Like this morning I had a conversation with God about it. Like, I'm sorry for that thought. That was horrible because she doesn't have what I have with God. I mean, I don't know, but just on the surface I could see that, you know.
It would appear that.
Yes, it would appear that. Yeah. And you know, I just thought, oh, Lord, forgive me for that thought because so I played with it for a second of like, why? That's not fair, God.
Yeah.
Not that anybody said God was going to be fair to any of us, but I thought that's not fair. And then I'm like, no, putting that out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to control my thoughts.
Yeah. Who can't relate to what you just said?
I think especially women.
But not even on just material stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Even if you can overcome the material stuff.
For me, it was like bigger than that. It was like
the life.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep. Things I've been longing and praying for.
I'm glad you nipped it in the bud. You recognized it. Because, of course, at the end of the day, this life is so fleeting. Mm-hmm. Whatever she has or does or is in it will pass an eternity. For a non-believer, no matter what they had in this, if they're lucky, 100 years, will never compare to the tens of thousands of years that we spend in eternity. Very difficult to keep that in the forefront of your mind on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. But then the second part is, you also said, that's not fair. My husband and I, when the kids were little, decided that the word fair is not an appropriate word, really, in life. I think some people want to relate fairness to justice, and it's not the same thing. At the end of the day, what's really unfair is that my life is a sinful mess, and yet Jesus died for me anyway.
Yeah.
And took it all on. And that because of what he did, because of how his father loved me and the son suffered on the cross, I unfairly will be able to live in heaven forever. There's nothing fair about that.
Amen.
And
I have to say amen to that.
So if I look around and say, oh, this isn't fair, that isn't fair, I really remember my whole life isn't fair and it's in my favor. Mm. It's not even just. There's no justice in me being able to live with God in heaven forever and have the abundant life that I have right now, the comfort of the Holy Spirit and my Savior all the time.
We don't deserve
I'm not worthy of that.
No, we don't deserve it.
And so that helps me keep it grounded.
Yeah.
On a larger scale, I have to go back to what you said. I played with that for a minute. 50 Shades of Grey is out. So let's talk about sexual fantasy. Mm-hmm. I'm married. I'm not cheating on my husband. I have no plan to cheat on my husband. Is it okay to play with a book like that, a movie like that, if I'm not really physically committing any sin? So when you say I played with it for a minute, that's a packed few words And I totally understand what you're talking about. Like, sin feels pleasurable. If it didn't feel pleasurable, we wouldn't be tempted by it. Mm-hmm. And so how many times, this is deep now, we're going in deeper, we're diving in, put on your scuba gear. How many times have you flirted with something and it felt good for a second? I'm not talking about physically, we're not mm-hmm. going to go there, but flirted with something and then you think, ooh, that feels good. Mm-hmm. Thinking about that, doing that, that's more than sliding doors. Those are the, like, you look at somebody or it feels good that someone's paying attention to you. That feels good. Mm-hmm. Even if you're in a great relationship, you know what, again, I'm coming back to this Thursday morning Bible study when she said when you first fell in love and when yeah. you first had that feeling of euphoria yeah. and mm-hmm. the world revolves around the other person, who doesn't long for that? Mm-hmm. Again, you know, you get into a relationship and it's solid and it's good and it's a healthy marriage, but that's not necessarily in it anymore on a daily basis. Like yeah. it was when you first fell in love. I remember Greg used to bring me a rose every day. Like, come you on. Know, right?
If,
like,
if that feeling was there every day, you wouldn't be able to function.
You wouldn't get anything
you
done.
Wouldn't
that's
get
right.
anything done.
That's right.
Your mind is not focused where it needs to be. And then, you know, if you do go on to have children, you know, it becomes something. It can be.
You're so
mundane.
Practical. She's like, it's not practical.
It can
it's
be
not
mundane,
productive.
But when
but
you
do
think
you see
about
what
that
I'm
feeling,
saying?
You can't eat, you can't sleep.
That's right. Well, and let me just tie in that the teacher on Thursday morning said, it says in the Bible, God has set eternity in our right. hearts, and that's what she thinks is a glimpse of eternity.
Yes,
that you are so in love.
Euphoric feeling.
You can't do anything else. You mm-hmm. can't think of anything else. Mm-hmm. You're so in love with God.
Yeah, it was a
and that's how
wonderful
you feel
comparison.
All the time. Isn't that, doesn't that give you goosebumps?
Yeah,
a little bit?
I loved that.
Because I think she's
visual.
Right. There's something about that mm-hmm. I think is right. When you listen to what heaven is like, that is what it feels like. Mm-hmm. Isn't most sin rooted in that need to feel what you feel when you are in having an intimate relationship with God? Mm-hmm. Don't we make so many sinful decisions seeking that in the wrong places?
What's seeking pleasure mm-hmm. And that's all ego driven yeah. it's all pride
and it's temporal, like, it's temporary,
yeah.
But honestly, I mean, if we're not going to be honest around this table, what are we doing? So honestly, the idea of playing with those thoughts, I just loved that you said that. Mm. And it's almost like you're teasing yourself, like, oh, that looks good, yeah, that mm-hmm. feels good. And it would, for a minute, mm-hmm. it would feel good. And that's the trap of sin. Mm-hmm. It just looks good. And then, you know, it's like eating, you know, if you're dieting, or if you're on a budget, like, man, a new pair of shoes feels good. Yeah. I love me a new pair of shoes. Right. But then if you blew your budget over it,
the credit card
that
bill
always comes,
in. Comes
around. Mm-hmm. And then you're miserable. Mm-hmm. And you're like, man, I wore them outside. I can't take them back now. and
but there's that sense it wasn't is, worth it.
No pun intended, but the other shoe does drop.
Yeah.
And it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. So all of these things swirl around the concept that we're talking about. All the actions that I do, all the words that I say, start as a thought. We've talked in past weeks about the James passage, taming the tongue. Mm. And that is a battle of its own. But if I can tame the thoughts first, the mouth is an outcropping mm-hmm. of my thoughts and my heart. In fact, Psalm 139 I'm going to read. And the word completely in this particular verse, before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, mm. O Lord. And the idea behind that is he knows my motivation. He knows my heart. I can talk about scripture all day long and use it as a weapon to hurt people. Mm-hmm. Or I could use it as an expression of God's love for them. God knows my heart. God knows the beginning of the word that starts in my head and in my heart. He knows it completely. I guess what the 2 Corinthians 10 passage is talking about is getting on the same page as God, who knows it completely, and let me know it completely and understand it and make sure it's pure and right and good before it comes out of my mouth. In fact, I had turned to that Philippians 4:8. It's a great parallel. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. I'll be honest that this is one of the scriptures that I speak out loud when I start to get frustrated with my husband. I can decide to think about the junk from our history or this something that he did yesterday that really hurt me. Mm-hmm. Or I can choose to think about what is true and noble and right and pure and lovely and admirable and excellent and praiseworthy about him. Mm-hmm. I get to choose what I'm going to think about him, what I'm going to think about myself. Mm-hmm. What about negative self?
Oh, yeah.
Talk. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, I would want him to think about the things in me that are noble and true and right, mm-hmm. and praiseworthy, because I bring my own bag of junk, mm-hmm. to the equation. Think about these things. It's the idea, the same thing as the Second Corinthians. What are you thinking about? What is your, where is your brain set to? What channel are you on in your, yeah. head? The idea that we get to decide what that, yes, frequency
it's
is.
A choice.
Yeah. Yeah, it really is.
I think we too often, you can get caught up in, it happens a lot in my family, this is just how I am. This is just how I was raised. And kind of getting stuck there and thinking, well, if I'm angry, I'm angry. And I have a right to be. I'm entitled to be this way. I'm entitled to feel this way. It's an entitlement thing too. Never turning that around and saying, you know what? I don't have to feel this way. This is a choice I'm making. That's big. Mm-hmm. It's not always easy choice, but I mean, it's that huge. You do have, just knowing you do have that choice, you don't have to just, like that bumper sticker that you
don't have to believe,
you don't have to believe everything you think. You, and you don't,
so we've been talking about that for,
and you don't have to
weeks,
think everything you're thinking is another, like, you don't have to think that. You don't, that's have right. to think that. You can stop and choose to think something more positive. And I know some people in my family that is really something I think that we got caught up in. Just, well, this is how we were raised. This is how we think. If I'm mad at you and I don't want to talk to you, then I'm not going to talk to you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter. I'm not going to forgive you. I'm not going to do this.
It's a mini culture of your family, this, yeah. this cultural norm.
Yeah.
That this is how I respond to, mm-hmm. that feeling.
Yeah.
That you created in me.
Yeah. It's your, you caused me this feeling, and I'm going to feel this feeling and think these thoughts instead of saying, I choose not to feel this way. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to let myself wallow in anger or whatever it is. Mm-hmm.
So it's, I mean, we're saying it as if it's easy. It's not easy.
It's not easy. I'm not
but
trying to minimize it
either. But we do make a choice.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I know you're not. I don't think you are. Mm-hmm. But when you say it, it sounds like, oh, well, I'll just do that then.
Yeah.
It's so not easy. No. And that's why we need God to accomplish it. We, yeah. cannot accomplish it on our,
no.
own. What you did this morning, you said, I had a conversation with God about that. Mm-hmm. That's all we're talking about. Mm-hmm. The idea where we end and he picks up, mm-hmm. it's a lot sooner than we might want to admit that it is. On our good days.
Yeah.
On our good days, we want to think we're doing it all and we're accomplishing it. On our bad days, we're like, oh my gosh, I need him way, yeah. sooner than I thought I did. And the truth is, it's on our bad days that we're more intimately familiar with the truth, which is, mm-hmm. I need him, mm-hmm. every second. There was a season, the bumper sticker that we're referring, oh. to. I saw a bumper sticker a few months ago. Mm-hmm. This bumper sticker that said, and I thought, that's one bumper sticker I can get behind. And all it said was, you don't have to believe everything you think. It's so yeah. profound.
Yeah, so simple yet so profound. Yeah.
It really is. So that's the bumper sticker she was referring to. But you know how God will sometimes bring things around in different ways in your life? Like if you didn't catch it the first time, mm-hmm. he brings it around a different way, mm-hmm. or somebody else says the same thing, or then you read it in Bible study and then your pastor preaches on it on, mm-hmm. Sunday morning. You're like, okay, mm-hmm. okay, okay, okay. That was happening about a really pretty deeply rooted, I would say, issue, mm-hmm. for me, which is that I'm not a super emotional person. And then I parlayed it into all the good things in life, like, you need to not be emotional for. Mm-hmm. Like, those are the things I'm good at.
Yeah.
And God was just dealing with me on, you know, your family and the people that you love, they need to connect with you in that way. They need to know that you're feeling some stuff.
Yeah.
And my husband and I, we go to counseling, mm-hmm. Regularly. Mm-hmm. And it's not because we're in crisis. I always say it's to keep us out of crisis. Mm-hmm. But we were sitting with her and I was really, really grappling with this because I kept thinking to myself, this is how I'm wired. Mm-hmm. I'm just not wired that way. So I would even take it back further than the culture that I was raised in. Mm-hmm. Because I was raised in a great family, mm-hmm. and our emotions were appropriate and okay. No one ever shut that down. No one in my family was particularly shut down. I mean, we all had what I would say is a reasonable, normal amount of emotional, right. expression, uh-huh. but I never was wired that way. Uh-huh. I will also say that I have buffered this concept about myself by seeing one of my children not be wired that way. Mm-hmm. And I think, well, there's nothing either one of us could have done about it. It like solidifies, mm-hmm. you know, because one of my kids came out, mm-hmm. that way, not super emotional. Yeah. It solidifies that, mm-hmm. it's totally not in our control. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so I've really been like comfortable, mm-hmm. and feel like, okay, that's just how I am.
God made, like, me that way.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So that's the next thing I started grappling with, because I felt God dealing with me on this. And I was really irritated, yeah. with him. I was,
you,
like,
made,
you
me.
Made me this way. What are you doing?
Right.
What are we doing here, God? And I'll what kind of game are you running? You made me this way. And now you're like, no, don't be that way. And I want to tell you, because you spoke into that, what the scripture that God brought to my heart and my mind and really helped me work through the concept of this is how I'm made, mm-hmm. or this is just how I am.
Yeah.
And that is John 15. And it's talking about the true vine. It says, I am just Jesus speaking. I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. Mm. And I thought, oh, okay. So it's still the same branches. Mm-hmm. In some places, it's the same. It's good fruit. In some ways, my ability to emotionally separate can bear good fruit. Mm-hmm. There was a period we didn't end up doing it, but because I didn't end up doing it, maybe I shouldn't speak into it. But I prayed and really came very close to offering and being a surrogate mother for someone who we were really close to mm-hmm. who couldn't carry kids. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, my body works in that way. Mm-hmm. And this is a woman who should have kids mm-hmm. in my estimation. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my job to figure out who that person is. And I thought, and I really thought about it. I was like, you know what? I think I can handle that because of my emotional detachment. Mm-hmm. So I could give you a list of things that I think are good fruit that could potentially come from my ability to shut it down emotionally mm-hmm. and not be so in it. But then there are branches that don't bear fruit because of that. Mm-hmm. And he's pruning those branches. So yeah, he created me in a certain way, but he wants me to bear the right kind of fruit for his glory. In fact, at the end of that section, this it says in verse 8, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruits, showing yourself to be my disciples. This is one of my favorite passages I come back to from a lot of different angles. Mm-hmm. A lot of people say, well, how do I discern what someone's telling me? How do I know what the right decisions are? How do I know if a preaching is good? And at the end of the day, I come back to this. I said, a tree is known by its fruit. Mm-hmm. A tree is known by its fruit. Mm-hmm. So what's coming out of that thing? That's how you can know what that thing's all about. And the same is true for the core of me. Mm-hmm. And all my thoughts and all my actions as a result, God is going to prune them to bear his fruit.
Well, I think it's a really good point, too. God does make us each unique. There's a place for each of us and a reason why he made us each that way. But it isn't always God honoring mm-hmm. to just say, well, I'm going to think this way or do this because mm-hmm. it's who I am. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good point, that there's parts of us that He did make us, but he may want to change us.
Yeah, and it's the branch that he did mm-hmm. create and allow. It's the fruit. It's the vine. Yeah. It's the fine tuning mm-hmm. that God is doing in our lives. Mm-hmm. The fine pruning.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
I'm not a gardener, so maybe that's a wrong term. But, you know, that's the idea. And it really does, even more than our core text globally in this series, it even comes back to what we're talking about today, carnal mm-hmm. or mighty in God. The things that he's dealing with me on, the ways that he wants my life to bear fruit, which source are they coming from? And how do I get on the page mm-hmm. with God to make sure that they're coming from the right place? Mm-hmm. Being in scripture and knowing your God well enough to know what are things that are pleasing to him, what are those things that are bearing fruit? What is good and true and lovely and admirable and praiseworthy? What are those things? Foundationally, you've got to know that mm-hmm. before you can manage your thoughts. So I'm in John. So let me read the two Johns. Okay. If someone else could grab 1 Peter and then 2 Corinthians. So just a few more scriptures to solidify what we're talking about. John 8:44 says, this is Jesus talking, and he's talking to non-believers. And he says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. That's pretty powerful. Mm-hmm. And as much as he's speaking to non-believers, we would be foolish to think he's not speaking to us when we're behaving that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a disciplinary, stern statement. And we want to make sure that we take note of it. Then parallel to that, more conversation about the road we're going down when we allow those thoughts to grow and take root. John 10:10 says, again, speaking about the enemy, Satan says, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Some translations say have it abundantly. Again, this juxtaposition of one concept versus another, where Jesus is comparing the enemy and what the enemy wants to do in your life and what he wants to do in your life. Mm-hmm. So let me, in that context, read it again. The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. And right after that, he talks about, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. It's worth reading that whole passage in the context of what is carnal and what is mighty in God. What is the fruit of the enemy and what is the fruit of God's spirit that lives in me? Go ahead and read 2 Corinthians 11:3. Please.
But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ.
Isn't it interesting that that's right after our text? Mm-hmm. Paul is genuinely concerned about his friends in Corinth, with good reason, as he would be genuinely concerned about us, and we should be concerned about each other. Mm-hmm. I'm very concerned that your minds are going to be led astray. Mm-hmm. Romans 12 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. There's a lot of conversation in the Bible about what's going on in your head.
Yeah.
What's going on in there? Mm-hmm. And I be aware of it. I'm concerned about it, Paul says. Mm-hmm. I'm concerned that your minds will be led astray. We should be concerned too then, and be aware, mm-hmm. and be alert, like Habakkuk on the watchtower.
Yes.
Okay. Do you have 1 Peter 5:8, mm-hmm. Amy?
Yep. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour.
We referenced this when we were talking about weapons and warfare. Mm-hmm. And again, very wise for us to remember. I mean, I think this really sums up one of the threads that we've been pulling through this whole conversation, which is the enemy has a purpose.
Yeah.
He has a plan. Mm-hmm. If you remember that he's prowling around like a lion, you're better equipped to cope with him. If you pretend he's not prowling around like a lion, he's going to devour you, mm-hmm. and your life. And all the things that are good and true and lovely and praiseworthy will be devoured. Mm-hmm. I just feel compelled to read. I read this last time too, but I just feel compelled to read it. And we'll end with this. So this is, again, I've read it before, worth reading again, from Charles Stanley's book, When the Enemy Strikes. He says, you have a powerful enemy and he has a name. The truth is, good has a name and his name is God. Evil also has a name. His name is Satan, or the devil. The devil refers to a spiritual being who is the supreme personification of evil. Satan may use what your mother-in-law says or a coworker does to come against you. He may use terrorists, criminals, and other people to cause you harm or strike fear into your heart. However, the real enemy is the devil who prompted the person to speak hatred to you, steal from you, and do his utmost to destroy you or physically injure you. Behind every evil person and every evil act lurks the real enemy of your life. He exists in the spirit realm, and he is relentless in his pursuit of you. He is 100% evil, and he has a plan to destroy your life. Satan is your enemy. That's so powerful. I just felt compelled to read it again because we're talking around and about this concept of what's happening carnally, mm-hmm. which is worldly, which is my flesh, the world, and the devil, all in one bucket, and what's happening that is mighty in God, fruit-filled, spirit-filled. These things are absolutely in opposition to each other, and that's playing itself out in my life right now. Mm-hmm. Whether I prepared for this Bible study, the people that decided to come around it, it's playing out in every way all the time. Mm-hmm. Being aware of it, deciding to take up my weapons, like Ephesians says, take up your armor, mm-hmm. so that when the battle comes, you're ready. I have to make that decision. I have to get up and be a part of the battle, or else it's going to overcome me.
If you're struggling with mental health issues, we have additional resources on our website, studywithfriends.org. Click on the Captive series under the Bible Study tab. For more immediate help, specifically in the area of self-harm, please call 1-800-273-TALK. That's 1-800-273-8255. If you missed any of today's program, or if you'd like the entire Captive series on CD, we'd love to send it to you for a donation of any amount. Because the battle for our thoughts is an ongoing one, this is a good CD series to have, and we want you to have access to it. Please visit studywithfriends.org/donate for giving options. Study with Friends is a listener-supported program, and we're kept on the air by your faithful prayers and financial support. That's studywithfriends.org/donate. We believe in the importance of your local church. If you don't regularly attend Sunday services and a small group Bible study, please find one. Be discerning. Make sure the church is teaching the Bible every week and in every small group situation. Thanks for being with us. See you next time on Study with Friends.